This episode brought to you by Origins. Take your indirect lending to the next level. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of CU Intersect here in Newport Beach, California. And in the studio lounge, we have Unsupervised Learning's very own Daniel Miesler. Daniel, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
Good. Glad to see you. You just got off the stage from your keynote this morning, and it was entitled Killer Context, How AI Will Disrupt Software and Security. And you had the audience in there eating out of your hand, sir, because they were just hanging on every word. So this is really good stuff. So give us a quick overview here just on what it was talking about, and then we'll dive into a couple of details here.
Yeah, so the talk is about how I think AI is going to change software quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
From being kind of a static thing where you have to make really specific changes to software that associate with a change to the database backend,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it makes it move really slow.
Right.
Like if you want to make a change to software, it's kind of slow. You
need
a dev team. Whereas with AI software, you just ask an English question.
Yeah.
Right? You ask a question. If you ask a different question, you get back a different answer.
Right.
You didn't have to change the software.
Right, right.
And that's going to have huge implications, and I showed a couple demos. And
okay. And so what did you want the audience to take away, I mean, from your talk? Obviously, how AI is just going to change everything. So
That's really what I wanted to do, is open eyes that this thing is huge and
mm-hmm,
it's coming for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just ChatGPT. It's much bigger than that.
Yeah.
And that they need to get ready.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned ChatGPT, because I got in there right when you said ChatGPT is a gimmick. So,
yeah.
And I went, what? Wait a minute. I almost fell out of my chair when you said that. So you said that, but then you followed it up about context-based AI. So can you share with me those two sides of the coin?
Yeah, so essentially context-based AI is where you give basically like kind of like the soul of your business,
mm-hmm,
like everything about yourself.
Okay.
Like it's everything you're trying to do,
right,
your mission and your goals and your KPIs as a business, plus all your Slack conversations,
mm-hmm,
all your Zoom transcripts,
mm-hmm,
all your logs. Basically, if you tell it everything,
right,
and then you ask it questions, the AI will know how to answer and give you the best possible answers because it knows everything about you.
Right.
For example, if you're like, hey, by the way, so-and-so competitor just came out with this new product, and I'm really worried it's gonna kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it knows everything about you and mm-hmm, what your capabilities are, it could be like, don't worry about it, you can use that team that you have overseas to make a product that competes with it.
Oh,
and because you have expertise in this area,
yeah,
it'll actually look better than that competitive product. Oh, and by the way, here's the marketing for it.
Oh my gosh.
And boom, you have a new business plan, you're ready to roll out.
Wow.
Oh, and by the way, email everyone, get them on a meeting, we're going to launch this tomorrow.
Goodness gracious.
So it's the ability to move that fast.
Yeah.
But if you don't have inside of there knowledge about those dev teams,
yeah,
knowledge about your capabilities,
yeah,
then it's going to give you some generic answer.
So it's only as good as the data that you put into it, right?
It's only, I mean,
which is the basis of all AI. It's only as good as the data that's running on, right?
That's right. And the reason ChatGPT, it's not really a gimmick. It's just like one tiny little feature.
Yeah.
It's like a glimpse into what got people excited mm-hmm, about AI.
Mm-hmm.
But really, this context thing is the game changer.
And so, okay, yeah, I'm glad. I mean, yeah, we're kind of funning with ChatGPT here a little bit. We know how powerful it is, but it's, yeah, like you said, it's just kind of the tip of the iceberg on what's coming. So, yeah, so share with me the timeline for context-based AI, because you said there's 6 months timeline where this is going to be kind of prevalent, or how are we going to get access to it, and how are we going to...
I mean, that's fuzzy. So I said 6 to 24 months before everyone understands this. Before everyone kind of gets it. Right now, most people don't get it.
Right.
Most people think that AI is ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
As far as when it's going to start rolling out, that's already happened.
Okay.
It started like literally 6 months ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there are hundreds of companies already doing this at a small scale. And the big consultancies that I mentioned, they're already starting their whole practice. And they've got their sights set on like all the companies in that room.
Okay, so the buzzwords to look for now are context-based AI. So tell me about, because you really laid out some interesting scenarios where you have AI watching the AI, whereas it'll be there to kind of make sure that the data that you're putting into this will be valid. We'll cleanse it all.
That's right.
So talk to me about that process, and then we'll dive in, and then we'll kind of wrap it up with how can a credit union or a financial institution use this stuff?
Yeah, so the big concern people have with AI right now is how can I trust the output, right?
Exactly.
And it's a good question.
Yeah.
First of all, you have the garbage in, garbage out problem.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it comes back and says, oh, you should invest here, or you should turn off this access, or you should make this change to your environment, you need to be able to trust it. And so what I am predicting and already seeing is that you'll have other mini sub AIs
mm-hmm.
whose job is to make sure that that particular output that came from an AI is trusted.
Okay.
So instead of just having a question and answer and you just go and do the thing, a good example would be a medical diagnosis. If the AI comes back and it says, take 5,000 or 50,000 milligrams of vitamin D and stand on your head or something,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
You need some sort of authority, some sort of system to check. Will Google say the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a team of actual human experts that would validate this? So the way we see it is this is basically going to be a pipeline of trust
mm-hmm.
that an answer has to move through. The more, I mean, if it's recommending an ice cream flavor for an event,
mm-hmm.
you don't need as much scrutiny.
That's true.
But if it's
That's
like true. Change your diet or take this drug,
yeah, there's a little bit more.
You need more scrutiny.
Yeah.
It's going to be more checks along the way.
Okay. Yeah, because we were talking in the back as you were saying that, and before you talked about the AI, these subsets of AI, it was like, who's watching the AI? Is the AI watching?
Other AI is watching the AI.
Because this could go on forever. Oh my gosh. So this is pretty cool stuff. You also talked about. Let's see here. Oh, you talked, okay, let's turn it to financial services here real quick here before I let you go, because you said this room will be on the far side or the far end of slow when it comes to adopting this type of stuff, which is still pretty fast because of the regulatory stuff going on with financial institutions, or why is the adoption rate not as fast as other places?
Fintech, or financial services in general seems to be slower for adoption,
mm-hmm.
I would say overall. In new tech.
Okay.
Just need to be more careful.
That's just the nature of the beast.
Nature of the beast. Yeah. It's accounting at the bottom end. So that's one reason. The other reason that's joined to that is the fact that there's so many regulations around that. So some of those will also put up friction.
Yeah.
But it's, I can guarantee you a lot of these companies are already looking.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
They're already being asked. Yeah. Their C-teams are asking them, hey, I need this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're going to have more hoops to jump through.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we had a lot of credit unions in the room right there already asking great questions on what you were talking about. So they're very well aware of this. And can you give me a scenario, just a real quick scenario of how this could be used in a financial institution, a credit union specifically? Or is that possible? Or is it still too far out to like...
No,
how could this benefit a credit union?
Well, I mean, a big thing that credit unions think of, and I'm just imagining this off the top of the head, but... you could ask an AI, what makes credit unions more attractive than banks
mm-hmm.
or big banks?
Yeah.
What makes a local regional bank more interesting to customers? And what, according to the capabilities that we have as a company,
mm-hmm.
what products can we build that people would actually want?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it could actually design products for you.
Wow.
Design the marketing, design the pitches, design the commercials
mm-hmm.
for you. So imagine a C-team coming in, instead of in the morning sending out emails for like, hey, let's gather ideas, it's just presented. They're presented with a set of ideas. And they just pick which one they want to go with.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Which makes everything so much more efficient, speeds everything up, save a ton of cost and production, all that type of stuff. So it sounds like a lot of benefits here.
Well, not only that, but you could also say, okay, here is the pipeline for performing a transaction. It moves through these 39 phases.
Mm-hmm.
You show the AI that.
Yeah.
You say, where is there waste and what can we do to fix this?
Beautiful.
And it cuts it out and says, okay, you're now at a 17-step process
mm-hmm.
instead of 39, which saved you this much per transaction.
Yeah, yeah, which makes your members very, very happy for
sure.
So, alrighty, sir, anything else to add to wrap up? I know I could probably talk to you about two hours on this type of stuff, but
I know
you got stuff to do, but anything else to add?
No, that's good.
All right, Daniel, thank you so much. Appreciate the time as always, man.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode brought to you by Origins. Take your indirect lending to the next level.